Welcome to the Wi-Fi Entrepreneur Podcast. They say your network is your net worth. So, why not hang with the best entrepreneurs out there? Let's get into it.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wi-Fi Entrepreneur Podcast. My name is Jackson Kiernan. Really appreciate you tuning into today's episode. Today, I am with none other than the podcast ninja, Apple Crider. How's it going today, man?
Jackson, I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Awesome. Yeah, thanks. So for those of you who don't know Apple, he's the host of the Young Smart Money Podcast, which is a top 100 business podcast where he interviews world-class entrepreneurs everywhere. So, okay, Apple, let's start from the beginning. How were you first introduced into entrepreneurship? And what was the process like of actually starting Young Smart Money?
Yeah, for sure. So my journey in entrepreneurship, I would classify it as accidental. I got interested in the world of personal finance when I first got to college about 2 years ago, because I had been working summer jobs since about 12. My uncle owns a campground. So basically, as soon as I could stand behind a cash register, he had me back there, like taking people's money and such. So I got started doing that, been making money on the side, working summer jobs, part-time jobs throughout high school. I built up a fairly decent sized savings account. And when I was in college, I was like, I know there's something I could be doing with this money. Like, it's just sitting here in a US bank savings account earning like a 20th of a percent in interest. Like, literally nothing is happening with this money. What could I be doing with it? So that brought me into the world of personal finance YouTubers. And I got super into their content. I started like diving deep into investing, building credit. And at one point I decided that I was going to like tell my friends what I was doing and like learning how to invest in stuff. And they were basically just like, dude, chill out, like step off. I'm like 18 years old. I don't need to think about that stuff till I'm like 34. So at that point I basically turned to YouTube as a creative outlet. And started making personal finance YouTube videos, basically just like documenting like, hey, I applied for this new credit card. Here's what happened. Or like, hey, I just found this cool new savings account. And it wasn't really to make money. It was really just a creative outlet because I had stuff that I wanted to share with people, but nobody wanted to listen to me like in person. So that's sort of how I got started publishing.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. Yeah, dude, it's so cool to hear, you know, since I'm 17, about to be 18 in a couple of months, something really similar happened with me and my friends. You know, I'm sort of sharing my ideas and they're like, dude, we're going to college next year. Like, don't worry about it. When you're out of college, maybe then you'll worry about it. But it's so cool to see young entrepreneurs with that initiative, you know, early on, because, you know, it's hard to come by, honestly. A lot of people just want to chill and hang with their friends, but having that extra initiative is super important at a young age, man. So yeah. So I know you're a podcast coach, so I want to give the audience some actionable podcasting advice. So there are so many podcasts out there. How does someone starting out differentiate themselves from the millions of other podcasts?
Man, that's a great question. And Jackson, man, I just want to say like props to you for being 17 years old and like making stuff happen. Like that's super cool. I'm inspired by you right now. But so yeah, like you said, man, I do teach people how to create a podcast. I have this free podcasting community on Facebook with like 250, 300 podcasters right now. That anyone can feel free to join. It's just podcasting.group. If you just type that in your Google bar, you'll be taken right there. But actionable advice. I mean, like, dude, what do you want me to talk? Because there's like, dude, as far as differentiation goes, it's kind of tricky because on the one hand, like you have to be different from people, but if you're so different from everyone else that like it's unrecognizable, like that's the point where it starts getting weird. So with that being said, one of the places where you really don't want to differentiate yourself too much is with your name and your channel art. Okay. I see a lot of people going kind of backwards on their podcast art and their podcast name. And the way I like to look at it is like with your podcast name, you want to keep that thing as simple as possible. And you want to try to have some keywords in there as well. So my podcast name, Young Smart Money. Very simple, very straightforward. It's not like if you read that name, you know exactly what my show is about. You don't have to guess. It's not like a couple random words. Or like, I don't even have a good example of one, but like, it's not like the Apple Crider show. Like if it was the Apple Crider show, you'd have absolutely no clue what I'm talking about. And I see a lot of young people actually making that mistake as well, putting their name in their podcast title. When you're just starting off, dude, nobody knows who you are. So putting your name in there, like you see the Tim Ferriss show, the Gary Vee show, you see Ed Milet, all those guys, like, and you want to be like them. So you're like, oh, I better do that. Yeah. Not at all. Couldn't be further from the truth. You gotta start it off. Make it basic. have some keywords in that people are actually searching for and make it very apparent to them what your show is about just from the name. Same thing with the podcast art as well. Like the thing that I like to do for the podcast art, I run a thing called the top 100 test. Okay. And the top 100 test basically means you go into the top 100 podcasts in your certain category and you look at what all of their podcast art looks like. Okay. You're going to start to see some very definitive patterns. Okay. And an analogy that I like to use here is like, if you were writing a cookbook, okay, with the cover of the cookbook, you would want to make it very apparent that it was a cookbook. Hey, you know, cookbooks have like a definitive like cover style, and it's very different from say a business book. So if you wrote a cookbook and the cover looked like a business book, people would get confused. They wouldn't buy your book and it probably wouldn't do very well. It wouldn't come off the shelves. People would be like, I don't know what this business book is doing over here in the cookbook section. So it would be confusing. Same thing goes with podcasts. If someone's looking for a business podcast, you want your cover art to look like what they have in their mind as a business podcast cover art. So those are two areas that I wouldn't recommend differentiating yourself. But as far as like the content itself goes, I mean, bring your personality. A lot of people are so like reserved on their podcast. They're just like sitting back, like shoulders straight, like asking a question and then just like sitting. But like have some personality, like joke around a bit. I mean, it depends on like the feel of your show, the style of your show, but a lot of people take themselves too seriously. And I'm somebody who just likes to go with the flow. And I'm like, I'm not going to take myself too seriously on these things.
Yeah, dude, it's, you know, it's so underrated. People want to know how they can differentiate yourself, but there's one thing that makes you different from everyone else. And it's your personality, like you just said. So no one can really copy that. Just be yourself on your podcast. And you know, that'll people, you know, like a more personal connection with the person they're listening to.
Man, and that being said, like people are worried that like, oh, this space is too crowded or it's so saturated. But the thing is, you can have two people saying the exact same thing, but 50% of people are going to like the one person better, 50% are going to like the other person better. And even though they're talking about the exact same things, like both of them have room to succeed. It's not that there's only so much space in a certain category for one person. It's like different people are going to associate with different styles. I mean, if you look at like the podcast, like there's so many podcasts on like social media marketing, and there's so many podcasts on like blogging, and all of them are doing great because different people are gonna be drawn to different personality styles and different people. So I think that's like your personality is the thing that's going to set you apart, because I mean, anyone can start an entrepreneurship podcast, but like nobody can start the entrepreneurship podcast that you're going to start because they are not you. They do not have the same personality, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Just from hearing you say that, some things that popped up to mind for me, like when I was starting out in entrepreneurship myself, I was drawn to Gary Vee specifically because, you know, I was running a baseball card business and I knew he was doing the same thing. So people relate with different things, right? So say I'm listening to Tim Ferriss or Apple. Apple's younger, so I'm probably going to relate more with Apple because
my agents
had similar experiences. So don't think just because you're talking about the same topic that, you know, you're not going to be able to relate to certain people, because people are, you know, will listen to your podcast for different reasons. Maybe it's not necessarily only because of the content, but maybe it's because of your age or they can relate with you in a certain way. So I think that was a great point too. Definitely, man. Yeah. So let's talk about the process of getting guests for beginners. So how does that process, how does that outreach look like for you right now?
Yeah. So it's definitely evolved. And one thing that I want to bring up, guys, is it's actually this chart that I have up on my wall. I'm going to bring it over here really quick. If you guys are watching on the video, if you're not, I'll do a decent job at describing it to you guys via audio. But okay, so we've got this chart right here. Hopefully you guys can see it. On one side of the chart, we have your memory, okay? On the other side of the chart, we have your effort, and on the bottom, we have the time. And basically what the chart shows is that as time goes on, your memory of things that you do fades, but the effect that thing has goes up, okay? So basically the gist of that chart and why I'm showing it to you guys right now is that looking at someone's results today and assuming that the actions that they're taking today got those them results is oftentimes very misguided, okay? So people see me today where I've gotten to, and they assume that the actions that I'm taking right now are the actions that actually got me to where I am right now, but that's not the case at all. Because think about like going to the gym, okay? You go to the gym today, you remember it, it's fresh in your mind, but the effect on your body is minimal, if any, okay? It takes time. You need to be consistently doing that thing over and over again. And then as time goes on, then those effects are going to start impacting you. But like, if you see like what Gary Vee is doing today, for example, he's publishing on all social media platforms, cranking out so much content, and people think that they need to be doing that as well if they want to get to that position. But guys, he's
like 15 people just on his personal brand. Like, you don't, okay? So think about that. And when you see people who are in the place you want to be, realize that what they're doing today is not what got them to where they're at. So you got to flash back in time a bit and see what were they doing 6 months, 12 months, 24 months ago.
Exactly.
So that being said, a long-winded way of answering, reaching out to guests, okay? So what I do now, again, different than what I used to be doing. What I used to be doing is I met most of my guests in person at events. And that was a great way for me to get my foot in the door. I went to this one event called FinCon, which I'm actually speaking at this year in, I think just a few weeks now, actually, which is going to be pretty cool. But I went to events and I met people at events because when you're at an event, people know that you're like, you're about it, that you're serious, that you're not just some like random on the internet shooting them a message. So that was a good way for me to get my foot in the door. And I'd recommend if you have events in your area, start showing up to those and just like getting your name out there. But what I do right now is I do all of my outreach on this guy on my phone. Sending video DMs on Instagram. Okay. People need to realize that if you send a message that is text-based on Instagram, the odds that that message get opened is pretty low. I mean, if you send that message to somebody with over 100,000 followers, odds they open it pretty low. If you send a voice message, odds they open it a little bit higher. If you send a video message, they open it very high because most people are not willing to send a video message, okay? Most people are not willing to take 10, 15 seconds out of their day to pull out their phone and just talk into it. And honestly, guys, I like video and voice messages better because they're faster. I can do them while I'm doing other things and I don't have to devote my entire time to typing. So that being said, video messages all the way, very, very simple, but just like find the people you want to have on your show and send them a message. The worst thing that can happen is they don't respond, they don't open it, or they say no. Literally, you lost nothing except for 15 seconds of your time by sending that message. So, and a lot of people don't realize this. And in my podcasting group, guys, people are having some crazy results. They're like, man, I never thought I could reach out to so-and-so, but I sent them a video message on Instagram and like they're on my podcast. So it's really, really crazy the power of video messages because it allows you to show that you're a real person. You have some personality, that you actually are taking the time to like interact with them. You're not just copy and pasting a message. Oh my goodness, guys, if you're copying and pasting a message and sending it to multiple people and changing their name, like you're far from the mark. If you're sending them the word, hey, in a message, just the word, hey, you're far from the mark. But if you send them a video message personalized, say their name in the message so they know that it's actually for them. That's the biggest thing, guys. It's just making people realize that you are reaching out personally to them and you're taking the time to record a video. That's served me hands down. I mean, I'm getting like at this point, like 90, 95% response rate on messages like that. And I'm talking with guys with over 1 million followers on Instagram. Okay. And a lot of people will think that like, oh, you have to have a big following on Instagram to do that. Couldn't be further from the truth. I started doing that when I had like 800 followers on the platform. Okay. It's not about how many followers you have. It's about, and also just like getting your profile set up right is important too. But yeah, video messages are king. And that's the key to reaching out, to be honest.
I think it's just another level of personality like we were talking about before, especially with meeting in person. That's actually how I started my podcast. I was at a mastermind in, you know, New York City with a bunch of, you know, high level e-com people. And, you know, Vova Tess was the person speaking and he said, everyone here should start a podcast and I will be your first guest tomorrow. And so I said, okay, done. And I literally was working on the cover art like 20 minutes later. So just meeting people in person shows you that you're, you know, shows your personality, shows that you have that personal connection with someone rather than just, like you said earlier, copy and pasting. Also, yeah, with the video messages was super important. Saying people's names, I think that was a, you know, a huge point. What I've heard is, you know, the best word in any language is a person's name. So if you can say a person's name in that video and really show that it's towards them, I feel like they're going to have that, you know, they're going to want to join your podcast or help you out or whatever more, just because you're showing that initiative and
saying
your name and
people love hearing their own name.
Yeah. Awesome, man. So yeah. So this is a question that I've been asked a bunch and I bet you have too. So after getting guests and creating high quality content, which is obviously what you should be doing first, people want to know how to get their podcast ranked. That's like the biggest thing, right? So simply putting out episodes is just not enough, right? So what are the steps someone starting out should consider to get featured on the, you know, newer noteworthy or top chart in your niche or something like that?
Straight up. So I'm going to caveat this by saying that as of this recording right now, the iTunes actually took down their categories, yeah. So you can't actually rank. So I'm going to tell you guys how it worked before. They might be keeping the new algorithm with these new categories. They might be changing it totally. I have no idea, but this is how it used to work, okay? It yeah. used to be 100% based on your new subscribers, okay? iTunes only cared about the number of new subscribers that your podcast had. It did not care about the number of reviews, did not care about the number of listeners. All it cared about was new subscribers. Don't ask me why. I think it's a pretty terrible algorithm, but it's quite easy to manipulate. And a lot of people were doing that. So I think that's one of the reasons why they actually took down the categories is because they realized, wow, our charts are just, they don't even mean anything anymore because they were just so utterly manipulated. I mean, it was getting disgusting. If you look down there, you could see some people who were like, you could tell, and there's ways to tell how many listens a podcast gets, and you could tell they were getting like 3 listens an episode, but they were ranking like top 50 in their category. It was stupid. So it was all based on new subscribers. And I mean, there's a lot of ways to get new subscribers. Some more black hat than others. But how I personally rank my show's been ranked in the top 100, I believe upwards of like 25 times. And the first, like a couple of them, so recently before they closed it down, I was experimenting with some of those like black hat techniques to see if they actually worked. Spoiler alert, they do. With some of those, I actually got up above like top 20 on business. But I don't say I'm a top 20 business podcast because those were just straight BS. I was just testing them to see if they worked. But the way that I hit top 100 was finding guests that had extremely, extremely engaged followings and promoting the absolute shit out of those episodes, okay? So the first time that I ranked, interviewed this guest, he had about, I think he had about 80,000 Instagram followers, but he was getting upwards of like 10 to 15, maybe even 20,000 views on his story. So his followers were crazy, crazy, crazy engaged. So I interviewed this dude and he promoted the absolute, just like everything out of this podcast. It was crazy. Like that podcast still to this day, is my most listened to episode. And that happened like 6 months ago, maybe. And it's still getting a ridiculous amount of listens because he promoted the life out of that thing. So finding someone who has a very loyal and engaged audience and getting them to actually promote your show. Now, sure, you found the person. How do you get them to actually promote the show? Well, the key there is you need to make it as easy as possible for someone to promote your episode, okay? If you make it hard for them, they're not going to do it, okay? I know when I guest on podcasts, which I do a fair bit of, now that I have a community of like 300 podcasters, I get a lot of requests to do podcasts. And when I guest on a podcast, I want to promote it, but if I have to jump through 50 hoops to find the episode, find their promotion material, like do all this stuff, like it's probably not going to happen. I hate to say it, but it's probably not going to happen. And I want to promote people, but like if they make it hard for me, like I'm not going to go out of my way to like find the things that I need to find. Like, So what I do now is I send them the promo material, which I have a virtual assistant make for me. I send them the link to the episode across any form of communication that I have with them. If I've been talking to them on Instagram, on email, on LinkedIn, whatever, wherever I've been talking with them, I send them the link, tell them it's live. And I send them the promo material. And at this point, I also have a virtual assistant just sending out those emails for me because I didn't want to be doing that. If I'm releasing a podcast every day, I don't want to have to send those emails every day. So I've got a virtual assistant that does all that for me. But making it as easy and seamless as possible for someone to find the episode, share the episode, any promo materials, give that to them, like produce some promo materials, guys. Like don't just expect them to like make them themselves or just like, you gotta put in a little bit of work and you can outsource that very, very cheaply, which I would recommend. But make it easy for them to promote it. And that's how you're gonna get the traction. That's how you're gonna get the new subscribers in. And always leaving that call to action as well in your episodes, okay? Tell people to subscribe. Tell them to rate and review your podcast in every single episode. Because people need to be told, okay, you might just expect that they know to review a podcast, but like so many people don't even realize that there's the ability to review a podcast in iTunes. So many of them don't even know where the subscribe button is, even though it's at the very top of the page. They're just so desensitized because they've never clicked on it before. They don't even know it exists. So you need to tell people what you want them to do. Make it very simple for them. And that's going to be the most effective way for you to rank your show on the past algorithm. Again, we'll have to see when the new one comes out, if they make it a little more sophisticated or if it's just still ridiculously easy to game it. But, that was what the old one was based on.
Yeah, definitely. And the newer ranking system has a bunch of new categories as well. So that, that should be an upside
as well. Yeah, definitely
an entrepreneurship category. So that would be great for you and I. What doors has podcasting opened for you? So I know you've been public speaking lately. So how has your podcast helped your career and personal brand?
Yeah, for sure. So at this point in time, I'm really not focused on my personal brand at all. If you look at my Instagram page, you'll see I haven't posted on my feed in 3 months probably. I still do stories just to goof around and stuff, but I'm really not focused on my personal brand at all right now. And that's because I'm focused more on my real business, which is I build funnels and run Facebook ads and build marketing sequences for people selling info products. And that is a direct result of my podcast. That is a door that's been opened from my podcast. And what I mean by that is, a lot of people, when they think of monetizing a podcast, they think that you have to run sponsors on your podcast to monetize it. Like if I ask someone if they've monetized their podcast, they're like, no, I haven't found a sponsor yet. And I'm like, that's not even the start. Like there's so many ways to monetize. I made this PDF that's got 16 different ways to monetize. It's 25 pages long. But that's not even scratching the surface. There's so many ways you can monetize a podcast. And I monetized mine on the back end through building Facebook ad sequences, through building marketing funnels for people selling info products. How I connect with those people is I interview them on the podcast. So if I find someone who I want to have on the podcast, who I also think I could add some value to with my marketing skill set, then I basically just do that. And that's allowed me to scale very, very quickly to a very significant income from my podcast just by doing that on the back end. So I don't exactly remember what your question was, but that was that's an answer that I had to some question.
Yeah. So the question was sort of what doors has podcasting
opened? Yeah.
Specifically about public speaking. I know you said you have a public speaking gig in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. So I've been doing some public speaking as well. It's definitely not a main focus of mine at the moment. It was just cool to get offered to speak at FinCon because I went there last year for the first time. It was the first event that I ever went to. And then asking me back to speak, I was like, well, yeah, I'll do that. So, but I've spoken at a couple conferences lately. But yeah, it's kind of just something that I do on the side. If people ask me to, I'll usually say yes if they'll fly me in and stuff. But other than that, it's not something that I'm seeking out right now, just because I'd rather focus on my actual business, which is the podcast and then building out funnels for people.
Definitely, man. Yeah. So the podcast just gives you so much leverage, like you're saying.
Straight up.
Helps building your business, even, side gigs like public speaking, connections with huge entrepreneurs. It's so important to start.
Yeah. The network is crazy too, dude. I mean, over 200 interviews at this point, my phone book, like the people that I'm connected with, it's ridiculous. So it's a huge power move.
That should be more of a motivation to start a podcast than, listens or anything like that, man. Just the people you get to connect with is absolutely insane, bro. So yeah, Apple, really appreciate you coming on to the podcast today. Go ahead and shout out all of your socials, what we can expect from you next.
Sure. I'm not very active on social media right now. I'm kind of in a cocoon, just working on my business. But if you do want to connect with me regarding podcasting, the best place is definitely my free podcasting group over on Facebook. If you just go to www.podcasting.group or just podcasting.group, it'll take you there. That's the best place to connect with me. Ask me any podcasting questions. Doing multiple live trainings in there every single week on different things. Today we're talking about podcast SEO in about an hour. So that's the best place to find me. Also just applecreator.com for really everything is just kind of housed there. So you can just go there and find some free stuff that I've put together. Otherwise Instagram is at applecreatorofficial. Again, I just post some goofy stuff in my stories once in a while, but those are the main places to find me.
Awesome. Yeah, guys. So that's at applecreatorofficial, applecreator.com, podcasting.group. Apple's absolutely amazing when it comes to podcasting. He's helping out tons, if not thousands of people, leverage their podcast and get ranked and stuff like that, which is super awesome. So Apple, again, want to thank you a ton for coming onto the podcast today, and we'll catch you guys next time.
Awesome, Jackson. It's been a pleasure.
Peace.